You're listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 432. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, and welcome back to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the place for real conversations that help women just like you in business grow sustainable, profitable, and aligned businesses. Now, here's something we don't talk about enough. Your business isn't meant to be your only source of wealth. Yes, you heard me say that. It should not be your only source of wealth. Building a successful business is powerful, but true financial security often comes from diversifying your income streams. And one of the most accessible and proven ways to do that is through, dun, 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 property investment, which is exactly why I'm so excited for today's episode. I'm joined by the brilliant Mia Shilkin, a leader in the property investment space and also our gold sponsor for the upcoming Women in Business Conference. I'm so grateful for her support of the event and even more grateful she's here today to share her knowledge with you about how you too can start to diversify your wealth outside of your business. In today's podcast episode, we're going to dive into why should business owners seriously consider property as part of their wealth strategy. She's also going to share with us the top five things to consider before investing, common mistakes that people make when getting started, how to understand and manage your cash flow from a property lens, and how to juggle it all without it becoming just another thing on your to-do list. And of course, we'll talk about lots of everything in between because that's how I roll on these particular podcast episodes. So whether you're brand new to the idea of property or already thinking about your next property move, this episode is for you. So let's welcome Mia to the show.
Hey there, Mia. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Ange. It's so lovely to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Now, last year, you were at my three-day Women in Business Conference and you were a sponsor, and you're coming back this year to also be another sponsor for the event, which we're very excited to have. But it was the conversation that we had on that particular day that left so many other amazing humans that was in the audience going, shit, I didn't actually even think about this. Because, and what I'm talking about there is for you, the listener right now listening to this, is that so often we get into the day-to-day about running our online business, our service-based business, and we're worried about the next launch, the next, wherever this money's coming from the funnel, or what is our evergreen funnel or whatever, that you forget that if you were to get sick or something were to happen to that business, especially if it's a personal brand versus a company, that you're actually putting yourself at a high risk and that you are reducing your overall wealth by just having it in one bucket. And so when Mia came and spoke at the conference, she was able to showcase to the other women in business about being able to diversify your revenue and your wealth in a way that feels light and feels easy through property investment. And that's what we're going to be speaking about today. So I'm thrilled to have you back, Mia, because this conversation is something that I feel every person around the world needs to hear, yet so many people aren't having the conversation. So welcome, welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. And yeah, absolutely. And I think we hadn't even left last year's conference before I was telling you I was coming back for this year's.
Yes.
Much fun. It was such a great time.
No, it was. And we're so excited for this year. But before we jump ahead to October this year, let's start about today. But so for the audience, do you mean AKA the listener today? They may not have been at the event. So can you please share with the audience who you are and what you do in 1 to 2 simple sentences?
Yeah, absolutely. I am a property investment strategist and I guide and advocate for women in business and others who would like to invest in property as a plan B or to help lower the amount of tax they're paying so that they have a nest egg and a retirement plan outside of their business.
I love it. And this is so important. So many people, when they first start working with me, do not have wills, do not have retirement, are not taking a wage, for example. And I'm like, even there, I'm like gasping for air. I'm like, oh my God, this is so important because we're not in business for shits and giggles, but we have to be smart about where our money is going. And property investment can have that. So why should the listener consider property investment? Like, how can it be a powerful tool for them to build and secure their wealth? Break us down that a little bit more.
Well, when you're working in or on your business, you're completely, from what I've seen, you're completely consumed by that. And sometimes it's not even about what you're going to be doing in your business next month. It's what you're going to be doing this afternoon or tomorrow, and just the amount of time that people can see forward. So things like retirement and superannuation, they just seem like something that's going to happen 100 years away. But before we know it, it's actually ahead of us. And not only that, it's about your lifestyle while you're working in and on your business that can be enhanced by property and investing in property. To put things aside and just wait for a rainy day to look at it is a little bit short-sighted in more than one way, because building a portfolio while building a business can actually benefit your business at the same time. It can improve your lifestyle. You can allocate funds to different places. You've got more choices because of your portfolio. So it's a really great safety net to have, especially, look, to be a little bit cheesy, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And the amount that eggs cost these days, you'd probably only have
Dude.
one in your basket anyway.
I know. And I think that's whether, regardless if you're in America, Canada, the UK, or Australia, the cost of eggs are crazy at the moment. And we don't want that. We want to be smarter with our money. But I don't think, specifically in this day and age, I know for me, I'm 46 and I'm still learning about property investment and still learning about wealth outside of my business because my parents didn't teach me this. And we have been left to fend for ourselves. And so to me, having these conversations now, earlier on, can only help us with long-term wealth so much faster, so much quicker. And this conversation is so, so needed. Now, there could be someone out there going, you know what, Mia, I've looked at property investment before, but I don't even know what to consider or where to start. So, what do you find are the top five things people need to consider when looking at property investment?
Well, the fact that they're even looking at it firstly is a great first step because, as you mentioned, we're not taught financial literacy. We're taught everything under the sun at school. In fact, I remember being told you need to learn long division because you're not going to be walking around with a calculator in your pocket when you get older. Well, joke's on you, Mr. Year 11 maths teacher. We're all walking around with calculators in our pockets. But if you're just looking at, I want to invest in property, that's like, that whole old saying, how do you eat an elephant one mouthful at a time? Where do you start? So don't look at it as a huge, ginormous, big piece that you just have to inhale all of it at once. Start with having a conversation with somebody, whether it's a strategist like me or whether it's going to not just an average mortgage broker, but a broker who specializes in investment loans and finding out what your borrowing capacity is and what that means. That's finance speak for how much money will they lend you in order to purchase a property. That's one of the first things to look at. And you might be surprised, or listeners might be surprised to learn that you can actually potentially borrow more money to purchase an investment than you can for your own home. And there are reasons behind that. And it's got to do with the strategy behind property investing, insofar as you get special allowances through tax, or obviously somebody's going to be paying rent for that property. So the entire responsibility for paying it off is not on your shoulders. So looking at actually how much you can comfortably borrow, then that will give you a bit of an idea on what sort of areas you can be looking in, what kind of properties would suit you, that sort of thing. So that's the first thing to look at.
So borrowing capacity is number one. What's the second thing that people should start to consider?
I touched on it just briefly then, talking about a strategist and a broker. So your team is really important because they're going to work with you for the life of your portfolio to make sure that everything is in place. The right financial planner, the right property investment strategist, the right accountant, the right investment loan broker, otherwise known as a mortgage broker. They're the ones that are going to work with you so that you're making good choices that are supported and backed up by these people. There is something called the best interest duty that we must act in the best interest of our client. So getting the right team with the right mindset that you have as well is really, really important. So the second one is team.
Third one.
Strategy. Once you've got your borrowing capacity and your team, you can start deciding. Now, The amount that you can borrow, does that give you enough money to put down a deposit for your first and your second property? Or do you need your first property to generate enough what's called equity, which means where the value of the property increases? Will your first property allow you to leapfrog onto your second property, or do you have those funds available? What amount of money can you borrow, and what will that allow you to purchase in certain parts of Australia? Because different parts of the country have different stamp duties, they have different rental yields. We are one country, but we are many at the same time. So, yeah, it's about looking for your strategy and how many properties do you need or want, and how are you going to fund them? So, yeah, that would be strategy is the next one.
And number four.
Number four is your why, and that's a word that we often use in self-development, and when we're doing business coaching and things like that, Ange, as you would know, why are you doing this? Now, are you doing this so that you can make the most of your taxable income now, or are you doing this because you don't want to be working full-time forever and you want to have a plan B? Are you setting up a legacy for family members or people close to you? Or, you know, that is, it's working out what your why. I could say or many times because there are many different reasons why people invest in property, and working out what that is for you will help you to make those big decisions.
Absolutely. The why is so important. I think we lose sight of that at times and just jump in without knowing. But without the why, we will lose potential interest and waste money without having that attachment. So I love that one. And what's our last thing that people need to consider?
Well, the last one is who. And who are you involving in your property investing projects? And I don't mean the team, like the professionals who are there to help you. I mean, who are you tying yourself to, like a partner or a friend or somebody that you decide that you want to invest in property? And I touched on this at the conference. And for those who weren't there, there's this funny little thing called an STD. And you might think that's a sexually transmitted disease, but it's actually a sexually transmitted debt. So if you do not play your cards right and choose your people right, you could end up in a really tricky situation with some good-looking person who you met online 18 months ago that you thought, woohoo, this will be great. We'll invest in property together. And then you're actually going through a property settlement instead of moving on to your or a division rather than moving on to your next property. So I think as women also, that's one of the things that we don't have sometimes is that faith in ourselves that we can make these big decisions and bold moves independently. And sometimes we choose the wrong people to involve in our big goals and projects. So who you decide to make these big moves with is a really big one. It can make or break your next steps in life.
I can relate. I mean, with the who, because obviously I've just broken up from my ex-husband a few years ago, and we only just finished settling on our land that was down in Tassie. And luckily, again, my ex-husband and I, we get along quite well, but it could have been bad. Like he could have not wanted to have sold, and then I'm in a holding, or I could have had to buy him out, or he could have had to buy me out, or like the list of bad things that happened could have been really, really bad. And I know, and it's funny that you say about like us not being able to back ourselves. I always had this notion that even though I make great money, that I always had to have someone either co-sign or I had to have a partner to be able to get a property. But since leaving my ex-husband, it's like I've got my first brand new 4-bedroom investment property out of Perth. I've got a second investment property underway. I've got stocks, shares, all of those things now, and I'm doing it on my own. My current partner, Grant, has nothing to do with those. So it's been fascinating for me to see my confidence increase too, be going, well, no, I can back myself. And what I love about your first one is around five things to consider that borrowing capacity. I think often we talk ourselves out of investment property before we even know what our options are because we make these assumptions. Well, again, I'm a single mom of two kids and I don't have someone else to sign for me. Or I even know I was like, my dad's in Canada, he won't be able to co-sign for me, you know, et cetera. But it's like, hold on, I don't, those are just stories I'm telling myself. So I love that you've gone through those five things to consider, which is the borrowing capacity, who is your team, what's the strategy, your why, and the who you're getting into. So thank you for that, because it's these are the things that I'm talking about. These are the conversations that we need to be having.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And look, sometimes we just need to get out of our own way.
100%. And also, it's our nervous system too plays a really key part in this. I use my own self as an example, but my parents filed bankruptcy not once, but twice. So seeing them build something and lose it and then build it and lose it, I was like, oh God, in my brain, subconsciously, I didn't feel safe going and buying investment properties, because I was like, what I found through hypnotherapy was it's just going to get taken away from me because that's all I know. But I'm like, well, no, that's not necessarily true. So sometimes our subconscious also comes into this. And also, we are women. We unfortunately have been behind the eight ball just in the way society is going in our history, but that's not how it has to be forever. So again, just start these conversations, start to see what has, and start to can take control of what you want your wealth portfolio to look like. Now, I know you've worked with a ton of people in this particular space, Mia, but what would you say are the top three mistakes you've seen people make when investing in property?
Quick question. Have you ever spoken at an event, felt amazing, got great feedback, and then absolutely nothing happened? No leads, no bookings, no new clients, just applause and then absolute crickets. I see it happen all the time. Not because your talk wasn't good, but because most talks aren't built to do anything. That's why I have to tell you about Booked in 20, a powerhouse workshop created by my friend Jacqueline Brooker, who is a certified speaking professional and founder of Any Given Tuesday. Jacqueline has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs turn 20-minute talks, such as panels, guest spots, networking events, into four, five, and six figures revenue. And this workshop unpacks her full framework. So whether you speak often or know you need to start speaking, this will help you turn your voice into a serious business tool. She normally charges $100 for this particular workshop, but she's joined up with me to give you the opportunity to access this completely free. Just head to the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au, click on podcast episode 443, and you'll be able to access this workshop absolutely free. And watch how your next talk changes everything.
Great question. And the top three mistakes sort of do echo some of the ones that we need to consider. So the first one relates to your borrowing capacity and it's your affordability. So we need to look at what our life expenses are. We also need to look at our budget. And that doesn't mean 2-minute noodles and baked beans. It means what money are we spending where that perhaps we could streamline elsewhere. If you're investing in a property, can you afford it? People sometimes think, right, I'm buying this hundreds of thousands of dollars of worth of property. That's going to put a huge strain on me. But they don't actually realize all of the different factors that can help contribute to supporting them in that decision. So knowing what your affordability is, when people are tossing up between buying a home to live in versus buying an investment property, that's always a really interesting exercise to do. As I said before, sometimes you can actually borrow more for an investment property than you can for your own home because of the different support that you get. So making sure that your affordability is sustainable as well. So yes, right now in this era of your life, you can afford X amount. Do you see that being sustainable over the years as your lifestyle changes, your business changes, perhaps the kids get bigger and they've got more sporting things that you need to be involved in and more fees and more costs? So we just need to make sure that your borrowing capacity or your affordability is conservative. We don't want anybody being stretched or uncomfortable. And I know that's something you resonate with as well, Ange.
100%. I'm all about being smart and building wealth. But if you're sitting, and I say this all the time when people want to sign to work with me. For example, I paid 45K to work with a business coach once and I backed myself, put it on credit card. It was the best decision I ever made, right? However, I knew it was going to be like it was a good, solid decision. But I also didn't come to dinner every night crying, going, how am I going to pay my credit card off? Whatever. And it's the same thing when people come to me. I say, if you're going to worry so much about how you're going to be able to pay me every single month, do not sign up with me because it's going to impact your marriage. It's going to impact the connection with your children, with your animals, with your sleep, with your health. And I don't want that. And I would say the same thing if you're looking at buying an investment property or even your own home, right? Is you don't want to be eating baked beans, but you have to be smart and look at that affordability. Well, if I got three kids and I want to put them into private school, we may not be able to afford this because this is going to go here and we're going to be stretched. So these are great things that you have to consider. So affordability, what's the second mistake that you see people make when it comes to investing?
Well, that's also very interesting what you just said then about we might not be able to afford it now. And that would bring me back to what type of property are you choosing? Because you might not be able to afford what you want, but you may be able to afford what you need, right? You might want the 4x2, but you might not be at that place just yet. So having that really, really spot on and unbiased advice from people as well. So Back in the day, my first property, I basically could have thrown a dart at a dartboard of the area and picked a property and I would have been fine. But things have changed. It's not like that anymore. So when you're choosing where you're finding your properties, who's going to help you, that sort of thing, that's also the major, that's the top three is again your team. So they're going to be there to help you find what the best option for you is. Not necessarily what the property on your vision board looks like, but when it comes down to investing, the word portfolio simply means a collection of files. And I think when people say portfolio, they think of all these fancy things, but it's not. It's a collection of files, which is really the information on each property consolidated into a folder. So it's about the numbers, it's about the return on investment. So finding somebody who says to you, no, you cannot afford the $800,000 property, that's going to put too much strain, but you can do the $550,000 property. And also, right, we're going for the bigger piece property here, but there's not as big a return on investment. Whereas sometimes it can also be the other way around. You can choose a property that costs less but has a lower return on investment. So it's actually, if this makes sense at all, going to cost you more than if you went for a slightly higher ticket property but has a better return on investment and it's actually going to cover your expenses. So getting that really best suited for you advice as well. So making sure that you get the right advice from the right people.
I love it. These might seem like simple mistakes to avoid, but they can have significant negative impacts. Does that make sense? Later on in life.
Oh, absolutely. You don't have to rush into these things. You need to make sure you've got your ducks in a row rather than your squirrels being at a rave.
Dude, I love that. No, cash flow. Cash flow is a very popular word that we use, obviously, in the entrepreneur space. And when it becomes relatable to property investment, cash flow is equally as important. So, what do people need to know about accessing cash flow to secure a property investment?
So you can actually access cash flow and make investment decisions while still setting up and running a business if you do it strategically. There are other options for being able to make those steps into investing. That doesn't mean you have to put the rest of your life on hold. I've got clients who look at the potential behind rent vesting, which is where you rent where you live and you invest all of your extra money into building up your portfolio. So I have actually had clients who've decided to move out of the home that they own, that they live in, and rent because that freed up quite a substantial amount of cash flow for them. They were paying less on their mortgage. They had people renting that property. Their rent was less. So that actually allowed them to get into their investing journey a lot quicker. If you are living in a home currently and you've had it for a little while or you bought wisely, you could actually have equity in there, which means that could cover the deposit and the cost associated with your investment property without you having to go out and get another job in order to do so. So the value of your property is more than the mortgage on it, then you can actually use that to leapfrog into your next property. So that's another way of getting cash flow.
I don't think people even think about this because if they haven't been taught it and you don't know what you don't know, these are the things that will help you to, again, make those better decisions at looking at how you can increase your wealth portfolios through property investment. Dude, this is, like I said, I could just keep having this conversation all day because it's just so important that we don't rely on other human beings to take care of us, that we have our own portfolios, and that, again, I'm a huge advocate for women just being able to build wealth at a time where we haven't. So this is so important to me. Now, for women balancing their business and also family responsibilities, I know there can be some blocks about now you want me to get an investment property and I'm going to have to manage this on top of the kids, on top of the business. Like I'm only one person, Ange. What do you want me to do? So, what strategies can individuals use to manage property investments without it becoming so damn overwhelming, Mia?
Yeah, that is something that I hear commonly, Ange. And you're right. We think we're so good at multitasking, but the reality is we are stretching ourselves thin and there is a lot of emotion in these decisions. And the trick is to remove the emotion and work with what you have control over and what your zone of genius is and outsource the rest. And that's not like, oh, I'm a rich person and I'm just going to pay for everybody to do everything for me. No, it's about being wise and clued into what is within your zone of genius. So, Angela Henderson Consulting, that's what you take care of. You do not also manage your own investment properties. You do not also set up your own financial planning advice, right? You go to professionals for that, and it's set up so that if you invest in that sort of advice, you can offset it with the profits from your investing. So, the best thing to do is to get a really clued in property manager to manage your portfolio, because if something goes wrong with one of my properties, I don't know about it till it's been fixed. They're the right kind. There's, look, not all mortgage brokers are created equal, not all property managers are created equal. So finding the right one, it's about finding a return on investment. And again, removing the emotion and not going, oh my gosh, that's such a cute little Queenslander. It's so gorgeous. I've always dreamed of that. That's going to be my investment. Next minute, there's white ants and the Queenslander needs upkeep, and it's about choosing something that's going to be easily maintained, is going to do what it's supposed to do for you in your portfolio. And maybe it doesn't look like the home you've always dreamed of, but it's not supposed to, because it's just a stepping stone to get you where you need to go. And then you can look at buying the dream home when you've got your portfolio doing what it's supposed to do. But yeah, removing the emotion and looking at the numbers and the return on investment and finding the right people to manage this for you. The same as with, you don't do everything in your own business, you outsource things. The same for your investment.
100%. And that was like two things that you said there that I relate with is when I had my first property investment, I remember we were going through and I was like, oh, that would be such a beautiful color. And oh, I love this. And they're like, just stop. You're
Yeah.
never going to live in this house. The
That's
color
right.
is irrelevant. The color needs to be neutral colors that is relevant for anyone that would come here to live or come here to buy. Because I was like, oh, get the red stovetop and get this backsplash. And they're like, no, only a certain amount of people are going to like the red. And therefore, it's going to be harder to sell. You want this to be able to sell to any Tom, Dick, and Harry without you getting emotionally attached to it. And I was like, oh my goodness, this makes so much sense. They said, now, if it was your own property, they go, not a problem. You do whatever it is. You still need to consider, though, that if you ever were to sell it one day and you've gone with a Moroccan theme, not everyone's going to like that. But they said, just so you know. So that was really, really important to me when looking at those investments. But also, when I had my first investment property, I was still working full time and had just started my first business, Findlay and Me. So there's no way I could manage a property on top of everything else. So, yes, they take a little bit of a cut. But again, it also becomes a tax deduction when you go back. Well, for me, it did. I can't speak on behalf of everyone. I'm not a financial advisor, but for me, it became a tax deduction because it was an expense that we were paying to manage the property, to be able to just save my sanity. So really consider what you can use for property management when it comes to your investment properties, because I wouldn't be where I am today if I had to do it all on my own.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just managing the property, it's understanding the act and knowing what can be done and what can't be done. And if you add up how much time, if you've got a tricky situation and you look at how much your property manager is actually making per week versus how much time they're spending on your property and on sorting everything out for you, they definitely are worth their weight in gold.
100%. Like, I think even like our aircon broke or something. It was a brand new property at time of investment, but then the aircon broke at like 5 years and 5 months. So 5 months out, but they went and sourced everything, the quotes and everything. So I couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the sign of a good one.
Now, for those people who are listening today and also live in Australia, and I do say Australia because different countries have different rules around property investment, et cetera. But if you're in Australia, where can the listeners wanting to explore property investment connect with you? Where can they find you?
Well, the first place they can find me is my website, which is miacasastrategy.com.au. My business name is Mia Casa Property Investment Strategy, but that was way too long for a URL. So we just made it easy, miacasastrategy.com.au. They can find me on Instagram at Mia Casa Strategy. They can also find me on Facebook. I am Mia Shilkin Property Investment Strategist is my business page. And I've also got Mia Shilkin, which is my profile. Don't go and add my young cousin because she won't be able to with any property. She'll probably tell you some fun things, but no, for the property side of it, just find me. And I've also got a LinkedIn profile, and there are some testimonials and examples on there of clients' success stories as well. So I'm pretty much covered all the bases.
All right, no, fantastic. And I strongly recommend that you connect with Mia and start looking at how you can start building your wealth through property investment. She's a good human doing good things. Now, one final question, Mia, before we wrap up, and that is, what do you know now in business that you wish you knew when you first started off?
Oh, Ange, that's such a good question. And I just wish I had trusted my gut more. when I was starting out, because those times that I ignored that feeling or that intuition, always later on I look back and went, huh, yep, okay, there we go. That was the red flag. That was the signpost. And for whatever reason, my innocence, my inexperience, maybe even my ego, I thought, oh, no, I can override this. So following your gut and really tuning into that little voice and knowing, sticking to your path. And my opinion of myself is so much more valuable to me these days. I used to worry about what everybody else thought of me, and now I just need to make sure that I'm happy with who I am and what I'm doing in my life rather than worrying about being validated by the rest of the world.
Oh, I love it. And yes, that intuition is such a strong piece. But again, we're not taught it in day-to-day world, right? And so it's another muscle that we have to build. So I'm glad that you've been able to follow that and find it. So no. And again, thank you, Mia, so much for your wisdom today. It's a conversation, as I say, I get so revved up about and so excited about, and I'm so passionate about, because I just wish that when I had conversations with women, they'd be like, oh my God, yeah, I've got two or three investment properties and I've got my own house and I've got this and I've got this. But it's very rare for me to have those conversations with people. And so the more that women specifically, do you mean men too, if you're a man listening, obviously, but my passion is obviously I work with women in businesses to build this wealth, because when women build wealth, the statistics do show that women are more likely to contribute wealth back into society, both locally to family and then internationally and globally. So, I'm here for it. So thank you so much, my friend. I hope you have a beautiful day, and I can't wait to see you back at the conference this year.
Thank you, Ange. So looking forward to it. See you then.
Bye, Anne.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.